She's over there is our Barbara. I'm so thankful. And you know, I think it's really nice when you have spiritual thoughts and you get ready that you'd like to express them and how they're working for you. You know, if something wasn't working bad and we were having great troubles, we'd want to get out and tell everybody about it and hope we get a little sympathy, wouldn't we? But when they're spiritual thoughts, it's so wonderful when you get out there and express them. Let the world know that you appreciate the wonderful things that God has done for us. So, particularly our Wednesday night here, well, Sunday too, I'll just put that in there too, but we're not looking for great speakers. We want people that really get and share their thoughts and share their heart feelings with us. Don't you enjoy hearing those? Don't you? I do. And tonight, one of my favorite people in this world is this young lady that's going to come up here and share her thoughts with us tonight. She's an import from North Carolina. We imported her. And that is our Jody. Here she is. Hello.
Hi. Got to get my notes. We're going to see if I use them or not. Can you guys hear me? I always have a problem with that. I don't talk loud enough, and I'm going to try to talk loud and clear so that everybody can hear. Last night, Bill Resto asked me after class, I sort of shared with him what I was going to talk about, and he said, "Are you sure you can handle that?" And I said, "Oh, yeah. I've dealt with all this stuff years ago. I'll be good." But then when I got home last night and I started trying to kind of rework the talk that I had planned to give, I realized maybe I really hadn't handled it like I thought I had. So if you guys will bear with me, because hopefully it's going to go okay, but I guess we're going to find out together. When Millie first asked me to talk, my inclination was to talk about the message that I hear over and over and over in this church and in circles. And she says, "Honey, they want you to say a little bit nicer things to yourself." How many of you have gotten that message during message sharing? I have actually not gotten that message during public message bearing or during circle. But I have been with Millie, just the two of us. And the first time that it happened, we were actually going to meet Reverend Patty for dinner. Those are always fun nights. And we were pulling into the restaurant, into the parking space. And I see Millie next to me go. "Honey, I hear you saying some really not nice things about yourself." Okay, I'll be honest. My first thought was, is she hearing the exact words? Because this might get awkward. But I started thinking about it and paying attention and noticing when people hear, get those messages. And the one that impacted me the most was Stan. Stan is not here tonight because he took a friend to the ER. And so he's not here. I absolutely adore Stan, and I was sitting right back there where Claudia is, and Stan was over here, and he's getting that message. They want you to say nicer things to yourself. And I'm thinking, what could he possibly be grumbling about? And I was so sad for him. And Mary, I'll tell you, Nathan got the same message one time. And I thought, does he not know when he walks into this room, he lights the place up? I love him so much. He has such a great energy. How can he complain about himself? But we all do it. And I started paying attention, and I started paying attention to my friends, and I started paying attention to how I talked to myself. Now, I can tell you, if somebody went up to Millie and said to her, "You fat cow. You are disgusting. Everything you put on looks like a sausage stuffed into too tight clothes." Nobody in here would tolerate that. Nobody. Nobody would allow anybody to talk to Millie that way. But that's stuff that I said to myself. Why is that okay? Why do I think it's okay? It's not, right? But why do I think it's okay? So I started thinking more about this, and I thought, I need to talk about this. But then I realized that Spirit wanted me to take it a little farther. Spirit wanted me to kind of pull out on this. Talking about how I talk to myself or how we talk to ourselves is kind of narrow. And Spirit wanted me to broaden out and think about how we talk about other people, how we condemn other people, how we criticize. And I thought about this quote by L.S. Barksdale. "We are all doing the best we can with the limited awareness, knowledge, and skills available at the time to meet a basic human need." And think about that. I'm going to say it again. We're all doing the best we can, the limited awareness, knowledge, skills available at the time to meet a basic human need. My husband was a brilliant, brilliant man. His family growing up called him MacGyver. Our friends called him Mr. Fix-It. That was kind of like his identity. There was nothing he couldn't fix. Nothing. But he had a brain tumor. And he fought for almost 9 years. And over that time, there was a drastic decline in his capabilities, his ability, his skills. And right towards the end, he couldn't even figure out how to make the remote for the television work. And he would get so angry with himself, and he would say, "I can't make this thing work." And he would get frustrated with himself, and he would talk angry to himself, and he would, and I felt so bad, and I hurt for him. And I think all of us can look at that. We can imagine sitting there with him, and none of us would criticize him and his limited skill or his limited ability. But if somebody cuts you off in traffic or they take your parking space, do you think, "Oh, they're just doing the best they can"? Got that limited ability and skill and awareness. I mean, honestly, I do say, "Oh, they've got some limited skills, all right." You know? I mean, I'm being very critical. I'm being very judgmental. I'm not being compassionate or trying to understand what they might have going on. And I had an incident that happened months ago. I was not in a good place, and I had an appointment with Lori LaPearl to get a massage, and she is in this little shopping center, the Ralph's Trader Joe's shopping center, up off of like University and 10th, and sometimes it can be impossible to find a parking space in there. And I had circled and circled and circled and circled. Now, these massages are... They mean a lot to me. I live with boys. They're not big huggers. The only time I get hugs is when I'm here, when I'm with Millie. And these massages are my chance to have somebody pamper me. And it satisfies a basic human need that I have to just be pampered and loved on for a few minutes, right? So I had been circling this lot for 15 minutes, and I couldn't find a space. And there was one opening up. And I pulled up, and I stopped, and I had my turn signal on. And when the guy backed out, he backed out this way, and he came toward me. So I had to wait before I could turn in. This guy in his little black Beamer, I can still see him. He swoop right into my spot. Yep. Let my horn do the talking. Probably made some gestures I shouldn't have. I did not say, "He's just doing the best he can do." And you know what? For all I know, there's a pet place right there. Honestly, maybe he had just gotten a call about his dog and he was trying to get there. I don't know. I don't know what he had going on. I have no idea. I didn't stop to think about that. I was just, you know, mad and criticizing and, you know, thinking about me. I knew that I needed to, last week, I really had the very strong understanding that Spirit needed me, wanted me to go deeper with this whole thought of compassion and understanding and accepting that everybody's doing the best they can. There was a tragic, tragic thing that happened back in my hometown. A girl, 25 years old, had broken up with her boyfriend. The news reported that they had been broken up for 2 weeks. I have a friend that knows both him and her, and he thought maybe it might have, that's not exactly true, but she had not, it had not been long that they had been broken up. And he, she was at her parents' house last Monday night, and when she left, she came through the gate, the gates opened, and she drove out, and he had been laying in wait for her, and he shot her with a shotgun and killed her instantly, and then shot and killed himself. There is so much outpouring of love and compassion for her and her family. And we know in this church that the soul's free. They know what we're thinking. They get our messages. They get the love that we send them. I can only assume they get the hate that we send out too. And this guy and his family is receiving a lot of hate right now. And my friend that knows both of them said, I'm so torn because what he did was wrong. It was wrong. And I get that. But how sick must he have been? How much pain must he have been in that he thought, as Dusty said, he thought that was his best option. Nobody's really taking the time. I can't say nobody, but the majority of people are not taking the time to think about him. And the pain that he was in, the pain that his parents are in, because they lost a child as well. And I am not condoning this behavior. I am not. We don't live in a lawless society. I'm not saying that there's not consequences. There are. We have laws and we have rules and we have to follow them. But that doesn't mean that we can't have some compassion and understanding and try to really understand what's going on in other people's minds and in their heart and what makes them do. And our country and our world is so divided that I really felt like this is why Spirit wanted me to take this a little farther. Because anger and hate and condemnation is not healing us or our country or our planet. It's, we're not going to get there. The prayer of St. Francis, that song, when I was listening to it, and I'll be honest, y'all, I thought maybe I don't know that I'm the one to give this talk because I know that this is not a popular concept. I'm from the South. You know, we're an eye for an eye type of group there, you know? And I really had a lot of nervousness about giving this talk. Dusty's telling me to breathe. But I was paying attention to those words, to the prayer of St. Francis and to the Whitney Houston song, The Love's the Greatest Love of All. And I really think that this is the key. It has to start with us. We have to show ourselves compassion. We have to be able to love ourselves before we can share that with somebody else. Now, last night in Circle, Spirit kind of did what Spirit did. I've talked about this before. I'm always simultaneously awed and annoyed at Spirit, especially my guides. Because I had something happen that nobody knew about. But Spirit basically said, this talk is good, and you need to do this. Now, are you willing to walk the walk? If you've never been in circles with Millie, it's fascinating how Spirit groups us together. She'll say, who stubbed their toe today? Or who bought a bedspread? Bizarre things. And there's 4, 5, 6, maybe 10 people who are like, that was me. You know, I'll claim that. It's a really fascinating process. And last night, Millie said, I have a Tommy here. Who has a Tommy in Spirit? And George said, I have a Tom. I just was thinking about him today. And she said, no, this is Tommy. And it went around the room. And Kathy said, I have a Tom. And Millie said, no, this is Tommy. And I sat there for a really long time, and I said, Millie, I'll claim that. I have a Tommy in Spirit. Now, In circle, you have to raise your voice. Keep the vibration. That's why we sing. It raises the vibration. And Millie, I kind of mumbled, Millie, it's Jody, I'll claim that. I have a Tommy. Millie says, people, raise your voices. You need to raise your vibration. Need to keep your voices up. Spirit has to lower their vibration. We need to raise ours. They're doing their best to get up with us. Millie had no idea in that moment what it took for me to speak up and say, I have a Tommy. I was doing the best I could in that moment to make that claim. When we all got up into the center, it wasn't my Tommy that was coming through, but Spirit had a plan for me during that circle. It was Kathy's great-grandfather, Tommy, that was coming through, and she had this beautiful, beautiful reunion with him. And she loved him so much, and she was so happy to get this touch in from him and to have this. And I was standing off to the side, and Spirit saying to me, are you willing to walk this walk? And they're shining a spotlight on my Tommy and the dark, ugly things from my past. This was not the first time Millie has asked who has a Tommy, and I haven't claimed him. And a part of me would love to have him apologize to me and say he's sorry. And that's why I would claim him. But the other part of me is not sure that I can handle the confrontation. To be standing there with my great uncle that molested me when I was 3, 4, and 5. That's where I've never been sure that I could really stand there and hold that space with him. And I didn't have to do that last night, but Spirit said, are you willing to, are you willing to walk this walk? And it wasn't just my uncle. He had done the same thing to my cousin, who was several years older than me. My family knew it. My grandmothers, my aunts, my cousin's mom, and nobody told my mom. Nobody spoke up. Nobody. They protected him. They didn't protect me, this little girl, and I do not understand it. And I went home last night, and I was putting this talk together. And I was honestly thinking, I'm thinking of this quote, you know, everybody's doing the best they can. We're all doing the best we can with the limited awareness, knowledge, skills in the moment to meet a basic human need. And I'll be honest, it really wasn't cutting it for me. I'm trying to understand my uncle. I'm trying to understand my family and why they allowed this to happen. And I really thought I might have to scrap my talk at 1:30 this morning and start over because I can't stand, I'm real. You get what you see, you know? And I couldn't stand up here and do the first part of it knowing Spirit wanted me to do the second and that I wasn't willing to go there. So I started doing some Google searches, and I know that quote's from Ellis Barksdale. I learned it in my Canfield trainer. I'm a certified Canfield trainer, certified to teach the success principles, and that's where I learned the quote. And I have looked it up in the past, and I know it was from an Ellis Barksdale book. And last night I decided I wanted to look it up and find out what the book was and what year that he wrote the book. I was just kind of curious. Well, Spirit erased all information about Ellis Barksdale from Google last night. It was not there, and it's still not there today when I looked this morning. It's just gone. But this Deepak Chopra quote kept coming up, and I'm going to read the whole thing, and I'm sorry I lost it. Everyone is acting from his own level of consciousness. This is all we can ask of ourselves or anyone else. However hurtful someone is, he is doing the best he can, given the limits of his consciousness. And I sat there and I thought about that quote for a really long time, and I thought, yeah, I can accept that. It's just one word, basically, difference. It's awareness. It's a placing consciousness for awareness. But that made all the difference for me. And when this happened with me, I was little. It was late 60s, early 70s. families kept secrets. We didn't talk about things like this. It was kind of this, if you don't acknowledge it, it didn't happen type of thing, you know. And psychology was really just starting in the 60s. It wasn't our level of consciousness, I believe, was not where it is now in the 60s. We are evolving. And I could think, however hurtful someone is, he is doing the best he can given the limits of his consciousness. You know, when we are talking about ourselves, and I teach this all the time, we can't hold ourselves by the standards that we have today. We can't hold past behavior by our current standards, because we're all growing and we're always changing and we're always evolving. And what we did back then, we regret maybe, but we can't beat ourselves up for it because we just didn't know better back then, or that wasn't our consciousness. Again, I really want to say I am not condoning this behavior. I am not even saying, let's tolerate it. That's not it. I just want us, I think it's so important for us, and I know for me, with this experience with my uncle and my extended family, we don't forgive someone for their benefit. That's for our benefit. We can't hold on to the anger and the bitterness and the resentment. It's, my mom always says, it's like drinking poison and thinking it's going to hurt them. You can't do that. So when we forgive somebody, it's for our benefit, not theirs. And when we look at people who are hurting and they're behaving and acting in ways that is not equal with our consciousness, if we can say, you know, they're doing the best they can for their consciousness, they're just not here yet. And I really think that it all starts with being able to do that for ourselves. For us to be able to look in the mirror and say, you know what, you're a little heavier than I'd like for you to be. And you know what? Can you do something about it? My son, he heard me grumbling about myself, and he said, Mom, that is not productive. And I said, you know, you're right. The benefit of raising children to be conscious is that they let you know when you're not. And I said, you know, you're right. I called my gym. I called my trainer. I got back. I'm going to the gym 3 days a week. I'm working out with the trainer. I'm watching my food. I'm trying. I can change that. I just have to grumble at myself. I can change it. So if you want to grumble about something with yourself, say, you know what? Can I change this? Is this within my ability to do something different? And if it is, do it. If it's not, like with my husband and his limited ability, you know, towards the end, be compassionate with yourself. Be understanding. Recognize that you're doing the best you can do. And mirror work is really awkward. I don't know if anybody's ever done it. Louise Hay was a huge, huge proponent of mirror work. But if you're wanting to really not talk nice to yourself, stand in front of the mirror and look at yourself and say, you know what? You're amazing. Use your name. It's more powerful to use your name. Look in your eyes and say, you did great today. Maybe you didn't do everything that you wanted to do, but you did good. You know, you were great and you're amazing. And once we start, that greatest love of all starts in here. And once we can do that inside ourselves, stop talking ugly about ourselves, know that we're doing the best we can, be compassionate, then we can spread that focus out and show it to others who need it and who need to hear that message that, you know, you're doing the best you can. And that's it.
An angel.
Yes.
Surely talking from her heart, wasn't she? She's had a lot of heartache in this life, and she stays sweet. Husband that she loves so much, having to leave the body so young. Jody, you're just a delight. She's a North Carolina kid. You knew that. Does everybody know she's a North Carolina kid? and came out here to be a California girl.